and just...
Who? This is the first time in 55 years of preaching that I have spent this long on one subject. Who is this Jesus? Last Sunday, we dealt with the second and third chapters of Revelation. Remember that John, the apostle, had a vision of Jesus on the Isle of Patmos. Remember that description. Hair as white as wool, even whiter than Edna's. Eyes that were piercing fire. Tongue sharp as a two-edged sword. Glorious and radiant until he outshined the sun. And John fell as a dead man. John, who put his breast on his head on Jesus' shoulder and breast in life, never felt in any way afraid of Christ, in the presence of the glorified Christ, fell as a dead man. Last week, we dealt with Jesus appearing to John as a judge to the churches. Chapter 2 and 3 are epistles, letters that are written to the church. And those letters all in total represent the condition of the church. And Jesus is introducing himself as the judge of the acts of the church. And last week we specified the failures of the body of Christ, and some of them were pretty big failures: false teachers and idol worshipers and lack of love and backsliding, getting away from God. But I want you to know that today we are looking at the other side of the coin. Not only is he a judge of the failures of the church, and remember we said to you, I want everybody's attention up here. Remember that we said to you that Christ not only is a judge of the failures and the wrongs, but of the good that the church does. And he said, in order to be able to deal with the failures, he would take the light out of the church. Church would become dark and void. And the only way to deal with that, Christ said, was to repent. Repent of the wrongs. Repent of the sins that the church had done. But today he wants you to know that he's checking out the good things you do as well. He not only is looking for the faults. Have you ever run into somebody, all they could talk about was somebody's faults? And you know, after a while, that gets old, doesn't it? Yeah. I try as best as I can as the pastor of the church. And remember that Jesus said here to the apostle John, the angel is the minister of the church, and it's his responsibility. These messages, these letters were delivered to the ministers of the church, and it's the preacher's job description to make sure that you, as the members of the church, understand what God's word is all about. If I don't preach the full truth, then when I come and stand before him, he's going to hold me accountable. Now, that doesn't mean that when you take your turn standing before him, you can blame it on me. Because the Bible says every man has to work out his own soul's salvation with fear and trembling. But I want you to see also that Jesus is looking out for every action of every member. And every one of us is going to have to come and give an account. Last Saturday before yesterday, we had the memorial service for Sister Lois Hallbaker. And I'm telling you what, when she got to glory, there's just no way but what the Lord said to her, "Come on in, Sister Lois. I see all the blessings. I see all the good things you've done." And she was a tremendous example. And so when we get there before the Lord, we don't want to be hearing about how we failed and how we faltered. We want that taken care of. We want to repent of it, get the light of Christ into our life so that we shine for Him. And so today we're going to deal with our works. Jesus said to Paul, or to John here, "I know your works." You don't need to keep count of everything you've done. The Lord's already got it. The Lord watches you in church. Hello? The Lord watches you as soon as you walk out of church. The Lord watches you when the waitress is waiting on you at the Sunday dinner table. He looks. I'm not going there any further. I've said enough. The Lord watches you when you get home and how you act at home. And if you act any different at home than you do in church, He's got it down. The Lord watches you wherever you're at work. He's got every minute of every hour of every day that you work on the job, and you think your boss was watching you. The Lord has everything down. He knows it all. He knows all about it, and He says, "I know your works." None of us can fool Him. I heard somebody say one time, you can fool part of the people all part of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And that's just people. What do you think about Jesus? Bible says He knows what we even think. And He knows what we intend to do in our hearts. So He knows our works. Now, Christ praises the church for the victories that it has. Number one, He said, the church worked and labored for Christ. Christ recognized that and He pointed it out to John. "I've seen your labor." Now this word labor means to labor to the point of weariness, sweat, exhaustion. To work and labor to the limit of one's ability. How many has ever worked that hard? All right. I remember the summer that I was in, the first summer in high school, my dad got me a job with a contractor out of Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. He took me up to St. Thomas, and I had to dig the footers for a house. The foundation was already thrown out, but I had to take a pick and shovel for $1 an hour and dig the footers to that house, and it was over 100 degrees out there. I was by myself. He took me away from my father, who had the water jug. And he didn't give me any water to drink out there while I was digging those footers. And it was over 100 degrees. And after lunch, I said to myself, "I'm going into St. Thomas and get me something to drink."
And I did.
Got my footers dug. But let me tell you, that's laboring, and about 100 degrees out there, and with a pick and shovel. There were times, even at 16, 17 years old, I thought, whoo, doggies, I'm about ready to bite the dust here. Laboring. How many of us have labored like that for Jesus? Now, there's been a few times in my ministry where I wanted to pack my bags and leave town. I never made it to the closet. Thank the Lord. But there have been times when I said, oh Lord, give me something else to do. And then he'd start thinking about missions. And I said, no, Linda's not going there. We're not headed that way. But I said at the outstart, at 15 years old, I'll be what you want me to be. I'll do what you want me to do. And I'll go where you want me to go. But oh my, have you ever been at a place as a teacher in the body of Christ, teaching kids? I heard of one teacher down in Baltimore. His pastor looked back the hall during Sunday school, and the door flew open, and out come a couple of kids. He had had all he could handle, and out the door they went. And there are times, but Jesus said of this church, they have labored to the point of exhaustion. They have worked until they are almost at the end of their ability. The church was a working church. I'm going to tell you, saints, every time you teach a class, every time you take care of a baby in the nursery, every time you do something for the Lord, you mow this grass and it's 100 degrees out there, or you're trimming around, Brother Stanley, you're saying, where's everybody else at? Jesus is taking account. He understands. When you have exhausted your ability to be able to try to get through to some. I've heard some of our teachers talking about kids when they came here this little. Boy, I've heard them say, man, they were a mess. And then the kids kind of grow up a little bit, and they kind of mature a little bit. And I hear those same teachers saying, wow, have they ever changed? You see the labor, the work that you put in for Christ. Now, I want to ask you the question. Jesus has got this all down now for every one of us. How many of us under our labor for Christ in the book up there that he has? How many of us have a full sheet of paper? This is what they've worked. This is the work they've done. This is what they've done for me. This is the work they've committed. I see some of them under the heading of attendance in church. Yeah, every Sunday, they're there. Look at that. 52 times a week, they're there. Oh, look at that. Wednesday nights, 52 Wednesday nights. Look at that. They are on the job. And then they flip the page to another person's name. Well, they made it on Easter. Oh, yeah, and down here's Christmas. Or they're sporadic. They make it a Sunday and they miss a Sunday. What's going on here? When we come to stand before him, he's going to open the page to our labor for him. And he's going to go down the page and see what we have done. He wants to reward. Remember, he's going to reward the church. He said, when you come and stand before him in the judgment of works that you've done for Christ, some works will be like wood, hay, and stubble. They'll be tried as by fire and burned up. But others' works will be like gold and silver and precious stones, be tried by fire, but they'll stand the test and they'll get a reward. The ones whose works were burnt up, he said, they made it in by the skin of their teeth. Check, how much skin do you have on your teeth? Not much, is it? So you see, Jesus is wanting to reward every person for what you do for him. He said in one place, if you give as much as a cup of cold water to one of my servants in my name, he said, I will reward you. Sister Carrie, I don't care how ornery you are in other ways, but you make sure this preacher gets a cup of cold water every Sunday. The Lord has it down.
Yes, he does.
The Lord has it down. He is taking note of it. Amen? And let me tell you, so the question is, what does God have on your page for the work that you do? If you're feeling a bit of condemnation there, it's time then to get busy. It's time to get down to business. There are some individuals in the body of Christ that they don't do any more than warm a pew. That's it. Every now and then, I don't have a line standing at my door, Brother Larry, what can I do for the church? What can I do for the body of Christ? What can I do in the church? There's not a line, but I noticed some of my most recent converts said to me, I want to do something. And I said, well, we got to clean chairs. I'm ready. Amen? Hello? And I say, we got to clean toilets. I'm ready. Amen? We've got to take care of this. We've got to take care of that. By the way, I need somebody to mow every Saturday of August. Oh, you're doing August. July. I see those hands going up. I can't hardly count them all. Somebody wants to work for the Lord, work for the body of Christ. So you see, there's the opportunities, and I want you to get the message. Christ has it written down. He understands. Secondly, he wanted to bless the church because they patiently endured. Now the word means to persevere and to be steadfast in serving Christ and in standing against all the temptations and the trials of life. Who here loves to be tested? Who here likes to be tried? You want the devil to pour all the temptations out that he can pour out against you? No, we don't want that. But what is Jesus looking for? We know that Satan goes around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. How many of you are ever tempted? Oh, come on. How many of you are ever tempted? I see some of you get you. How many of us have ever sinned? Huh? All of us. And we are tempted continuously. I don't want to know what your temptation is. I've got no business in that. I don't need to know what you have a problem with. That's between you and the Lord. But I'm here to tell you, He takes note when you are tempted and you stand fast and say, no, devil, I will not yield to the temptation. Patiently endure. I've run onto a couple of people that in their lifetime they've said to me, well, Brother Lay, you don't know the temptation that I have. You don't know what it's like. You've never been tempted in that way. I'm telling you what, the old devil pours it on and pours it on. After a while, I just say, I'm tired of this, and I give in to it. Jesus is taking note of those who patiently endure and say, no, no, no. You know, every now and then I get somebody on the phone and they call me and they want money. Anybody here ever experienced that? They want money. And I'll let them go a little while and I'll say, no. And they just don't stop. They keep on rolling. And after a while I say, no. And they don't stop. They just keep on asking. And after a while I say, do you understand what no means? No means no. Goodbye. Hello? And the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you ever want to see the devil run, just keep saying no, 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 no. Get behind me, Satan. I have one greater in me than you that is in the world. Somebody say amen. Amen. The church was steadfast in steadying and proclaiming the gospel and ministering to the needs of the needy. Listen to the word of God. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. How many want a crown of life? Resist the devil. Thirdly, Jesus took note that the church could not bear those who are evil. Evil. This refers to sin and evil. Men, women who were corrupt and polluted and who lived for the world instead of living for God. The church could not tolerate the sin and the shame, the dirt and the pollution, the filth and destruction of evil in the world. And I'm here to tell you, the church is not here to open its doors and let whatever come in and depart. Amen? When you walk through the doors of the church, you are to come to repentance. Repent of your sin. Repent of your wrongdoings. And repentance means turning away from it, doing an about face, surrendering your life to Jesus, just like Cassie did the other week, and surrendering your life to Him, getting rid of the old man, the old sinful life, and living a brand new life in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you're coming through the doors, don't bring your pornography with you. I had an old fellow down on the Eastern Shore. He was 80-some years old. And he lived in a bus in the woods. And he had a heart attack and was about to die. And he was blue. As blue almost as Sister Liz's dress. My shirt, purple. And I went and prayed for him in the hospital. And the Lord spared his life. 80-some years old. He never went to church before. Rough old sawmiller. And after the Lord spared his life, I talked to him about Jesus. He gave his heart to Jesus. But this old fellow had a reputation in the community. He had women coming to his bus all the time. And everybody in the community knew what was going on. And so after he came to church, I happened to spy him leaving. I was taking my garbage to the container they had there in the community to everybody bring their garbage. And I happened to, he just left and I pulled in. And when I went to dump my garbage, I saw all of these girly magazines. I said, thank you, Lord. He just got rid of a bunch. He just got rid of them. He, God, changed his life. And he came to me and said, Pastor Lay, I want to be baptized. And I said, all right. Now, I know you've repented. You've asked the Lord forgiveness. He's 80-some years old now. And you've asked the Lord forgiveness. But one thing Mr. Wilhelm, I want to know, you've got to clarify, are you finished with the women? And he said, yes, Brother Lay, I want to go to heaven. And in the next breath, he said, but could you find me a wife? Sin is not tolerated in the church. So don't be coming into the body of Christ and thinking you're going to keep on living the old sinful life that you've always lived. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. And so the church, Jesus commended them. He said, I commend you for the fact that you cannot tolerate sin and evil and wrongdoing. Does that mean that all of us in the church are perfect? Would all the perfect people raise your hands? I can't even raise a foot on that. No. But it means that we are forgiven of our past, and we are steadfastly standing against temptation. And from time to time, if we're not careful, we will decide to disobey the truth of God's Word. We'll give in to anger. We'll give in to gossiping. We're no longer that gossip that had a tongue so long that she could lick her neighbor's frying pan next door. You see, we don't tolerate. And Jesus commended the church for that. Listen to Ephesians 5. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reprove them. I went to visit an old farmer in my community down on the shore, and I walked in the door. First time I was in his house, I was going from house to house, started a new church, and I was looking for members. And so I went into this farmer's house, and I started, he knew me and I knew him from in the community, but I started back into his room where he was. There's a big old grandfather clock standing there, and it was an original from England. And he said, I said to him, boy, I like your clock. He said, yeah, he said, it don't keep time. He said, something's wrong inside. He said, open the door. And I unknowingly opened the door of the old grandfather clock, and he had a great big calendar of a nude woman standing inside. He wanted to see the preacher's face. And I shut the door and I said, pretty, isn't she? Yeah. I said, when you're not serving the Lord, that's where your desires are. When you're serving Christ, your desires are in other places. A few days later, he came to my house and he knocked on my door. He said, preacher, are you busy on such and such a day? I said, well, no, I don't have anything planned. He said, I'm grubbing stumps and I need a hand. He was lying. He came to invite me on his big 30-some foot boat down at Indian River Inlet to go fishing with him. And he said at the end of the invitation, he said, you better bring something to drink other than what I have. But before it was over, he stood in my new church and looked at a cross that I had made out of lumber that he gave to me, hand you in lumber. And I made a cross out of it and hung it up in the church, and I saw tears rolling down his cheeks. You see, we need to make a distinction. We don't love the world. We don't fellowship with the world. We don't go into cahoots with them. We stay away from them. I talked personally to the chaplain of Bourbon Street some years ago. He used to preach on the streets of New Orleans. And he would preach and get people saved, and drug addicts and alcoholics. And some years later, he started in his preaching, he started going into the taverns and sat down with them. And eventually, he relinquished his standards and started drinking a beer with them. Until finally he became an alcoholic, lost his ministry, lost his work for the Lord, became outcast, and was in a terrible situation. Until finally when he came to the bottom of the barrel, he relinquished again to Christ. He prayed and asked forgiveness. God forgave him, cleaned him up, picked him up. And it was after that that I talked with him. Bob Harrington, chaplain of Bourbon Street, and he said, we cannot compromise with the world. When you do, when you let down your standards, when you compromise with the things of the world and the people of the world, you lose your testimony and you lose your salvation. So have no fellowship with darkness. Stay away from it. Don't get anywhere near it. That is, in participating with it. Jesus then looked at the church and he said, you have tested all the preachers and the teachers of the church and rejected those who taught falsely. If a teacher confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he had come in the flesh, he was accepted and allowed to teach. But if he denied that Jesus Christ had come in the flesh, he was not allowed to teach. And that's what the scripture says. Listen to Matthew and John. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist. Listen, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. I'm telling you, there's plenty of spirit of Antichrist all around us. And many churches are opening their doors and letting them come on in. I don't know if you've heard of Chrislam or not. But there are churches now and preachers, and we have one in Hagerstown. He's opening the doors. They're having Islamic scriptures read from the pulpits in their churches along with Christmas services and other things. They are trying to combine and bring the religions of the world together. It does not work. Amen. You either believe in Jesus Christ and what he taught and what he stood for. If you do not, you are false and a spirit of Antichrist. Amen. I was sitting at a table, I think it was in China, and there was a Muslim doctor across the table from me. We were eating dinner. And the Muslim doctor said to me, we believe that Jesus was a great prophet. I said, isn't that wonderful? You believe that Jesus was a prophet? And yes, we do. We were talking about a religion. There was no arguing. We were just discussing. And I said, well, if Jesus is a great prophet, then you believe what he said, right? Yes, we believe. Jesus said, I quoted to him, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And immediately he said, no. Right away. He told me he's a false prophet. I decided a long time before that I would never invite him to my pulpit. Amen? We cannot allow false teachers and false prophets into the body of Christ. We have to make a distinction. And Jesus said to the church, I want to commend you. That when false teachers and prophets showed up, you rejected them and would not let them teach. And last of all, Jesus commended the church because they bore up under all for the sake of Christ's name. How many of you sold out to Jesus?
Yes.
I mean, it's Jesus all the way. No one else. Jesus all the way. And you know what? We don't see a whole lot of it here in America. I tasted a little bit of it even in high school. I was a preacher in high school, and I had a teacher in high school. Linda and I were dating, and he would stand in front of the class and make fun of me because he knew I preached. In front of the whole class. There wasn't any. I didn't dare get mad. I didn't dare try to get even. All I could do was just live for Jesus and keep on preaching. I never had a confrontation with him about it. But 50 years later, he came to our class reunion. Glory. And he shook my hand and he said, "You know, I have watched you and you've been faithful. And you did what the Lord called you to do." I said, "Glory. Thank you, Jesus."
Amen.
I was tempted, but I didn't go there. I didn't say, "Mr. Davis, you remember how you ridiculed me in church or in school? I'm going to tell you what, man." No. I let the old gentleman die in peace. He is not dead yet. Let me ask you a question. Are you sold out enough to Jesus that if they changed the laws in America and said you can't come to church anymore, would you be here next Sunday? If they said we're going to arrest you if you have a Bible in your house, would you get rid of your Bibles? If they said you can't talk about Jesus on the job? Huh? Well, you know, there's ways of showing Jesus that you don't have to open your mouth. When the guys are ribbing you and getting the best of you, and you can turn and smile and say, "No problem. Hello." You show patience. My dad, my father, Ernest Lay, worked with a man. He worked construction work all of his life. And he worked with a gentleman from up there close to Indian Springs. Matter of fact, he lived in the same house that Bob and Bee live in right now. Fred Bowers was his name. He gave me a nickname when I was growing up, little boy. He called me Pot Pie. And everywhere he saw me, in the store, in town, in church, where it was, he'd holler clear across the church when I walked in, "Hey, Pot Pie!" I miss that. Fred died. But Fred was not a Christian when Dad worked with him. And Fred was a rough old guy. He didn't serve the Lord, and he was really rough. And he said later on, after he got saved and he gave his heart to Jesus, he said, "When Ernest Lay came on the job, I did everything I could do to contrary him. I wanted to see if I could make him mad. And never once did he ever get angry. He was just as solid as a rock." And he said, "That's why I'm a Christian today."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Bear up. Oh yes. Listen to what Paul said in Timothy. "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Oh, the Lord is watching to see all of that in every one of our lives. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Hello. That's what the Lord's looking for. He wants to commend you for it. He said, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. And whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Bear up under the problems of life. Bear up under the struggles. Bear up under the temptations. And Jesus, hallelujah, when you come to to stand before him, he'll commend you for doing so. I got to close it out here now. Christ makes a promise to these overcomers. He makes a promise of victory. Listen, the word overcomer has the idea of conflict and struggle. The overcomer is a person who overcomes and conquers and gains the victory. Oh, hallelujah! Have you ever been in a battle? Doesn't it feel good to walk away a victor? You've overcome. Have you ever had a struggle with temptation and you said no and you gained the victory and you walked away with a smile on your face and say, praise God, I did not bend nor bow nor burn. The three Hebrew boys, that's what they said. Will you worship Belshazzar? No, we will not bow to any other god. And so they stood fast. They threw him in the furnace. And when the king looked in, he said, there's four in there. We only put three in because God was walking with them through their struggle. Amen? Amen. So God is promising victory to the overcomer. That means you've got to fight a good fight. That means you've got to fight the battle. That means when the devil comes around and when you're tempted with the things of the flesh, you say, no, 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 I will not, I refuse. Old Flip Wilson said many years ago, the devil made me do it. No, no. Any sin that you commit, you make a choice to do so. I've never yet seen the devil go into the store and buy pornography and deliver to somebody and open the pages and say, hey. No, no, no. Who bought it? Who looked it up on the computer? Who is responsible for flicking the key? The person who does so. If the problem is with alcohol, I've never yet seen the devil come out of the liquor store carrying a six-pack. I've never yet seen the devil taking one out and flipping the cap and putting it up to your lips and saying, come on, take a sip, take a sip, sip. No, 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 no. Who does it? The individual makes the decision. We're talking about discipline here. We're talking about saying no. We're talking about being, and guess what? Jesus is watching it. Jesus is taking, and he can't wait to get you to a place where he can say, I'm proud of you.
Hallelujah.
I love you. Thank you for standing up for me and fighting the good fight.
Praise the Lord.
If your problem is cursing and swearing and all of that kind of stuff, it's not the devil that makes you choose to do so.
Amen.
And you're the one that has to choose to say no and refuse to do so. So Christ is saying, when you're an overcomer, when you're a victor, oh hallelujah, he makes a promise to the overcomer. He says, the overcomer shall be allowed to eat at the tree of life. How many of you like to eat?
Amen.
What's some of you living on? How many of you like to eat? Anybody beside me like fried chicken legs? All right. Has anybody here ever had my experience? Take the salt shaker and go out to the garden and pull a big red ripe tomato off the vine and put some salt on it and Have you ever gone to a plum tree? Ripe plums hanging on the tree, dead ripe. And you reach up and you pick one off and you, the juice. I stopped in Hawaii at a pineapple field. And they had these nice, juicy, ripe pineapples right off of the stalk. They had cut them down. And I stood there and ate fresh pineapple till the juice ran off my elbow. Ooh. Jesus said, to them that overcome, I will give you the right to eat from the tree of life. Hallelujah. That's the same tree that he planted in the Garden of Eden that Adam and Eve ate from. Guess what? God is a gardener. He transplanted that tree from this earth in the Garden of Eden to the new city, the new Jerusalem. And when we get there, because we have overcome, we shall also eat of the tree of life. I'm going to God's tree of life, and I'm going to eat till the juice runs off my spiritual eternal elbows. Amen. Woo! Glory. The overcomer shall become citizens of the paradise, he said. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory. How many want to be a citizen of God's heaven? Amen. You want to be a citizen of the paradise of God. I'm looking forward to it. Amen. Turn it over, Lord. Let's go. Come on, even. Let's go home right now. That means eternal bliss and ecstasy, eternal perfection in life, eternal fulfillment and completeness, love and joy, peace and control, work and pleasure, duty and honor, service and satisfaction. Hey, how many want to go? Hallelujah. That's the promise to the overcomer. Don't mess with this stuff on this old earth. You know where you're going to end up there? Hell. I want to make sure I go. And guess who's watching? Jesus. And he can't wait until you come up and stand before him. And he's able to say to you, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Would you stand with me? Fight the good fight. Finish the course. For there is laid up for you a crown of righteousness. Hallelujah! I say glory. I say glory. I say glory. If you're not ready to go, if you're not filled up with these good works of the Lord, then you need to get to repenting. Jesus has promised you victory. He's promised you paradise. All you have to do is fight the good fight and finish the course. I want you to repeat with me Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I want